Well, it's been over a year ago now. I started taking us through the book of Hebrews. And we went from chapters 1 through chapter 7. And I said earlier this year that I would come back to the book of Hebrews and finish it. Some people doubted me, had a little smirk on their face as if Pastor's going to forget and is not going to do it. But here we are. In the book of Hebrews. So what I want to do is kind of give us a little overview of the first few chapters, and then we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 today, only two verses. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life, the grace of life that you extend to us each and every day. Thank you, O God, for being in our right mind and able to discern and to just simply think upon you. Father, I ask your blessing upon the reading and studying of your word right now. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Open up the eyes of our heart. I pray that we might see Jesus, Lord, more fully, O God, that our perception, that the eyes of our heart might be clear, Lord, that we would understand the hope of your calling us and the inheritance of the saints and the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe. Holy Spirit, teach, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. The book of Hebrews, as I said earlier, starts out this way. God, who at various times and in different manners spoke to the fathers through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son. God used to speak through angels. Come on. He used to speak through angels. People, you know, some people, if they see an angel these days, they say, oh, I saw an angel. If you see an angel, don't come to me with an angel. Take it when you come to me. When the Son of God comes, then look me up. Then look me up, because God in these days is speaking to us through his Son. Okay? That's why at the baptism of Jesus, when he come up out of the water, he said, this is my beloved Son. Okay? That's why the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter said, Lord, let us build three booths, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. The voice came from heaven and said, this is my Son, hear ye him. Listen to Jesus. Why? Because in these last days, he's speaking through his Son. In Hebrews chapter 1, it goes on to say, because as it talks about the superiority of Jesus over angels, it said, to which of the angels did God ever say? Remember that? To which of the angels did God ever say, you are my Son? Today have I begotten thee. And so the apostle is exalting the ministry of Jesus, exalting Jesus above every other entity, upon every other created thing. To which of the angels did he say, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son? And so Christ and his ministry are exalted above all angels in chapter 1. In chapter 2, it starts out, it says this, since God is speaking through the Son, you remember it said, take heed to yourselves, lest you let something drift away. Since God is speaking through the Son, let us be careful to give heed to the Son. And what Jesus says, beloved, you can count on it. It's true. It's going to happen. Right? And so it goes on, and it talked about Christ being made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He is therefore a merciful and faithful high priest, and he is able to help those who are being tempted. He's able to help. Everybody in here ever get tempted? Okay. Both hands should be up on all your toes, hair standing on your head. Everything should be up, okay? But the Bible says, have you ever run to Jesus? Have you ever said, Jesus, please help me, Lord? Help me. Because the Bible says, that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, he is able to be a merciful and faithful high priest, and he is able to help those who are being tempted. He's able to help us when we're tempted. I'm telling you what, as I've been reading through the book of Hebrews, and I read that and I consider that, I was tempted this last week, and I cried out to Jesus, and let me tell you something. Man, he came and he put it down. Do you hear me? I said he put it down. And I got victory. I got victory. I'm serious. So that's the Christ that we serve. If you, that reference is a beautiful scripture, okay, to memorize, you know, Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid or help those who are tempted. Okay, so when we're tempted, don't ever think God doesn't know what I'm going through. Oh, he knows all that you're going through. He just doesn't know about the sin part, because he's never sinned. Okay? Amen. Nor should he. It's impossible for God to sin, by the way. Hello? I said it's impossible for God to sin. You say, why is that? Well, the wages of sin is death. God can't die. Think about that. I love him. God is so awesome. He's so awesome. You think about these things, you say, wow, you're not like us. No, no, not like you, no. Okay, chapter 3, we studied, as it told us, it says that we are to consider the faithfulness of Jesus and not be unfaithful to God in departing from the living God like those who wandered 40 years in the wilderness. And so it told us that if we hear his voice, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the temptation in the wilderness. And we were singing in the song that when I look into your holiness, I believe it was that song, it says, as the deer pants out of the water, he said that my heart would yield to you. Lord, make it so that I would yield to you. You know, that's the job description, another job description of the Christian today. Because the Holy Spirit speaks to each and every one of us. We must yield. And in Hebrews chapter 3, the writer is saying, consider Jesus and yield to him. The children of Israel, when they were about to go into the promised land in Numbers 14, God had already said, I'm going to give you a land that flows with milk and honey. All you have to do is go in and possess it. I'll give you victory over your enemies. They went in there and looked at it, and they said, you know what? God lied. We can't take that. We can't defeat those people. God said you could. But they said, no, we can't. So now, well, one or the other is true. Either God lied, or you rejected what God said. And they had rejected what God said. And so they didn't yield to him. And the writer of Hebrews is saying in chapter 3 that we need to yield to God. Why? Chapter 4 goes on and says, therefore, since a promise remains us of entering his rest, why should we yield to God? Well, because God had promised the children of Israel that I'm taking you to a land of rest. You're going to enter into my rest. And when they did not go into the promised land, God said, that whole generation, they will not enter my rest. They're going to die in the wilderness. So Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness and did not enter into the rest that God had prepared for them. The writer of Hebrews compares that there's a rest remaining for the people of God. There's a rest for you and I. And most commentators says that this rest speaks of heaven. One thing we know is that you ain't going to get no rest here. Hello? Do you go to work every day? Yeah, you work hard, don't you? Do you sweat a little bit? Yeah, you get a little tired? Yeah. And so the rest that God has prepared for us is an eternal rest. And it's on its way. But he said, let's receive what God has for us. Because Job said, man born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. So he went on to chapter 5. And in chapter 5, Jesus is talked about again here as our high priest. Okay? Jesus, we find out in Hebrews chapter 5 that Jesus is high priest according or after the order of Melchizedek. We talked about Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14. He had no mother, no father. He had no beginning of days, no ending of days. This is an interesting individual. And that Jesus was made a priest after that order. Okay? And so he also said that we ought to be teachers who can handle the meat of the Word of God and not only milk. So he warned the people, said, don't be spiritually sluggish. You know, in the lifetime that we live in, it's very easy to become spiritually sluggish. Spiritually sluggish comes about when, if you don't read your Bible, the spiritual exercises, you don't pray, don't worship, don't fast, and all the things that cause one to be more in tune, more in a place to receive, we don't give ourselves to. He said, you don't become sluggish. Chapter 6, he said, let us go on to perfection if God permits. Do not be spiritually sluggish, but be diligent and hope to the end. Through faith and patience, inherit the promises of God. Through faith and patience. We're talking about chapter 6. He said that as Abraham, through faith and patience, he inherited that which God promised him. So we too, Abraham didn't, but his descendants did. They inherited the promised land. We too then, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Now there are many promises God has made for this life, but the ultimate and the ones that I'm looking for, I thank God for. And then we need to lay hold of promises of healing and so forth. But what he has for beyond here is, oh my goodness. We need to lay hold of those two, as Abraham did, because the scripture says that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Whose builder and maker was God. All right, chapter 7. Jesus, again, it starts out talking about Melchizedek. Jesus was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. You'll remember in Hebrews chapter 7 that it speaks of how Abraham tithed to Melchizedek and that Levi was in the loins of Abraham when he did so, so that the Levitical system tied to the system of promise or the system of grace. Grace is greater than the law. The new covenant is greater than the old covenant. Jesus is greater and better than Moses, right? The new economy under Christ is greater and better than the economy under Moses. And believe me, you and I would not want to live under Moses, because people died under the witness of two or three. If you were caught, one man was gathering sticks on Sunday, say he's going to bake himself a little something, gather a little stick so he can burn a fire so he can cook something. And they found him. And he was put to death because he broke the Sabbath, you see. And so you and I wouldn't want to, we want to live under Moses' economy, because some of us stay hungry. We'd be out gathering sticks on the Sabbath, and they said, oh, Brother Pat, he was a good old boy. As they could take stones, you know, and stone him to death. Okay? Now, there's so much that we can say. I'm going to, excuse me, I'm going to start in the last couple verses of chapter 7 and go in to chapter 8. So I talked about how Jesus Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. I said he had neither father nor mother, neither beginning of days nor ending of life. And so what that means is, if you understand priesthood, and you do, you understand the Levitical priesthood Aaron could not remain a priest because Aaron died. Okay, the Melchizedekian priesthood, neither father nor mother, beginning of days nor ending of days, therefore Christ Jesus remains a priest forever. He is high priest of the tabernacle in heaven right now. In the Levitical system, when you read your Bible, and this is astounding to me every time I read it, and I was reading it this morning, and you read Leviticus chapter 16, talks about the Day of Atonement. Aaron was the high priest that God chose to come and approach him. By the way, you can't approach God unless he chooses you to. If you do, that doesn't work out at all. You'd be laying on your back for the rest of your death. Not your life, but the rest of your death. When you look at the Levitical system and you look at it, Leviticus chapter 16, Aaron could come into the presence of God one day a year. We're talking about high priests. We're not talking about low priests. We're not even talking about one of the people. Okay. The people, listen, never got to go into the presence of God. Do you hear me? They never got to go into the presence of God. Here you and I, we lift our hands. Sometimes you're driving down the road, and the presence of God just get in the car, and you're like, the presence of God get on you, and you're like, he's here. I mean, and you didn't do anything. You don't deserve it. You didn't cause it. He just comes, and you all messed up, and I ain't even wear makeup. I'm not trying to get my makeup together, you know, and you just messed up. Listen, we experience the presence of God, okay? In the Old Testament, Aaron got to go in one time a year, listen, and he didn't go in dancing and skipping, beloved. He went in with blood, and he was hoping that the offering was accepted. Because if it's not, he had a rope on his foot tied around his ankle. Because if you hear a thump, you better start pulling. Because if you weren't right, see, if you weren't clean, you didn't last a moment in God's presence. And so it brings into light, you know, all that Old Testament is there so you can see how hard, so you can see how far man fell away from God when Adam sinned. So you can see what had to happen for one man to come into the presence, for one man to come into the presence of God. And when you look at it, you look at where we are, you don't dare take for granted the fact that I can pray. Do you know what? Just to pray. Don't take for granted the fact that you can set your mind on Jesus. Don't take it for granted, because all of that was purchased at Calvary. All of that was bought. All right, let me get into this. All right, so our high priest, Jesus Christ, is a priest forever. And let me see here. I want to make sure I start at the right place. So verse 25 says, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ is making intercession for you and I. Okay? Remember what he told Peter? Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. He says, but I've prayed for you, Peter. He says, and when you're restored, strengthen your brethren. He said, I've prayed for you. I've interceded. I've gone before you. Now, verse 26 says, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Now, when you look at that, what it said about Christ, that he's harmless, the antithesis of that is what you had in the Levitical priest. The reason why Jesus Christ had to come as high priest was because the priesthood, those who descended from Aaron, were unholy. They were harmful. They were defiled. They were sinners. And they were earthly. That's why Jesus had to come. You say, gee, Pastor, calling boys unholy? You remember Eli's sons? 1 Samuel, laying with the women at the temple, unholy. Okay, what did God do? Hophni and Phinehas, you got to go. Out of my presence. You don't act like that. Okay? Unholy, harmful to people. God, he talks about this in the book of Jeremiah, talks about it in the book of Ezekiel, about the shepherds and the priests and the prophets who were defiled. Instead of being separate from sinners, they were sinning the most. Okay, I'm not going to go there. And has become higher than the heavens. Verse 27, he does not need daily as those high priests. Do you realize that every day of the year, Aaron got up and took a lamb and slayed it and sacrificed it every day of the year, listen, and he had to do it for himself. Why? He was a sinner, and sinners cannot go into the presence of God. Not even Aaron. Aaron could not even go in the presence of God without Jesus. Why? He had to sacrifice a lamb first to cover his sin. Who did that lamb represent? Jesus. So Aaron, the high priest, could not go into the presence of God. Same thing today. Jesus said, no man can come to God except for through me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except but by me. Right? He is the way. And so the high priest, along with all the other priests, had to sacrifice for themselves every day. Why? Because they sinned every day. Not only did they have the act of sin, but they had sin dwelling in their hearts. Right? So Jesus Christ, he does not need daily as those priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the peoples, for this he did, Jesus Christ did once for all when he offered up himself. So when Jesus hung on that cross, he was not hanging for himself. He was hanging there for you and I. We all understand that. Okay? He did that as high priest. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses. The law appointed men as high priests who have weaknesses. What weaknesses? Well, sin. The fact that they get old and die. All of these are weaknesses. They're frail, impotent. The law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. So I don't know about you. I don't want no priest on this earth running around ministering for me. Because I have a high priest. Okay? He has become higher than the heavens. That's what the scripture says. Now, you remember in the book of Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, God said to Moses, the descendants of Aaron will be priests unto me. But they could not continue in their priesthood because they died. It says here, the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness. The law speaking about Moses, when God spoke to Moses to have Aaron and his sons be priests. But the word of the oath, the word of the oath came from God, which came after the law. God promised another person, it was the person of his son Jesus Christ, that he would be a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and that declaration, that promise came after the law. Let's see if I have it up here. Psalms 110 verse 4. David prophesied this, and he prophesied it 500 years after the law was instituted. Now, I want to show you here when it says, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. And so David, who was a forerunner of Jesus, prophesies and says, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ was promised that he would be priest and king. And so Jesus had to come to give his life because the Levitical system was not sufficient. Why? The scripture tells us plainly that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. Okay? Now, Jesus was not an appointed priest under the dispensation of the law, but by the oath of God. Jesus had no sin, therefore he had no weakness, but lives forever in the presence of his Father. Here's a thought. The wages of sin is death. Jesus never sinned. If he hadn't died on that cross, he'd be here today. Just like if Adam hadn't sinned in the garden, we'd be talking to Adam. Okay. Now, let's see. Let's move on now to Hebrews chapter 8, our text for today. And this is what the writer says. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. This is the main point. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now, I have up there who is seated. And this is a very important point. In the Levitical system, the Levitical priesthood, in the holy place and in the most holy place, there were no chairs. Think about it. There was no place to sit. Why? Because the high priest's work was never finished. What was his work? Offering sacrifices. Offering sacrifices. Why did he have to keep offering so many sacrifices? Because the people sinned every day, and they needed sacrifices. Come on. Sacrifice. I mean, that temple was flowing with blood. Have you ever thought about the mercy seat? Do you know when you see the Ark of the Covenant? You see pictures of it, and you see this nice gold plated thing. Do you come on? That's not realistic. Moses on the Day of Atonement was to go into that place and take blood, put it on his finger, and sprinkle it seven times on the mercy seat. Do you know what that mercy seat looked like? It looked sort of like Jesus when he was hanging on that cross. Blood splattered everywhere because that's what it took to atone for my sin and yours. Okay? But now here's the point. Here's what I want you to see. There was no seat, there was no chair in the holy place because the Levitical system was insufficient for the needs of the people to wash away the sins of the people. So the priest couldn't sit down because the priest was always up killing a lamb, sprinkling its blood to make atonement, killing the goat, killing the bull for his own sin and for the sins of the people. Jesus, when he offered himself up, one time, in John chapter 30, 19, John chapter 19, verse 30, he hung on the cross, and when they put the sour wine up to his mouth, he received it. He said this, "It is finished." It is finished. And what he was talking about was the offering for sin was finished. Jesus offered himself one time, and that one offering paid for and covered and washed away the sin of the entire, of all of those who would believe on him. All of those who would believe on him. That's why it says here that Jesus Christ, our high priest, sat down. You know when you sit down? When your work is finished. Go to work and supposed to be doing the job, and your boss catch you sitting down. Hello? And he's going to have something to say to you. You on the clock? Get up. Let's get some work done. And so, as I said, the priest's work was never done because it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Offerings were made every day, all day, for himself and for the people. And so what we see is that Jesus was seated because the work of atonement for man's sins was finished and accepted by the Father. That's why Jesus was seated, and noted, he was seated right next to the Majesty or the Father. He was seated next to Father God himself. In the most holy place, there was no chair for Aaron. You hear me? He never sat down in the presence of God. He couldn't. He couldn't last. I'm going to show you a scripture in a second. God even told Moses, he said, tell Aaron, you know, don't just rush up into the most holy place at any old time, Aaron. Don't just come in here whenever you get ready to. And then God said, because I will appear over the mercy seat. And said, because I'm appearing there, you're not holy, you will die. So don't come in here at any time. Okay? This is painting a picture for you and I to understand what Jesus Christ has done for us in becoming our high priest. So when you read Leviticus, you know, you attempted to rush through it before, you know, man, burnt offering, peace offering, thank offering, heave offering, wave offering. You know, you said, all these trespass offering. What am I supposed to do? Every one of those represented Jesus Christ. Every one of them. And God commanded they be offered because, I don't have time to get into this, but God had a way of approaching him. He had a way. And if you did not go that way, Dathan and Abiram, okay, Korah, they went their own way, and, you know, God had a way, and you had to go that way. I'll get into that a little bit in a second, okay? But the offering for sin, Jesus Christ did it once and for all, and it was finished, and we'll see it repeated here in the scriptures. Hebrews 1 and 3 says this, who being the brightness of his glory. Jesus Christ is the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Listen, when he had purged our sins, when he had offered himself. Notice how where sat down comes. Not before, but when the high priest had finished his work, then he sat down. Then he sat down. Okay? And so we see here, this is the main point of what the writer is trying to say. We have such a high priest. Okay? He says, our high priest, he is seated at the right hand of God. That means something for you. What does that mean? When it says he sat down, it means he forever finished the atonement that you and I need. You and I don't need anything else to be made right before God. Come on, my praying doesn't make me right before God. My fasting doesn't make me right before God. My worship, that doesn't make my reading the Bible. You can read the Bible 10 hours a day, doesn't make you right before God. Jesus Christ and his offering. That's what made us right before God. So when it says he sat down, I'm so glad he's sitting down. He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. What does that mean? That means his atonement is still in force. The blood is still in force. The sacrifice is still in force for my sin and your sin. Now, that does not mean that I take it as a license and just go out and live any old way I want to, but I should appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ, he's seated for a reason. He's seated for a reason, okay? And so, not only here, what it says is, when he had purged our sins, after that, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Again, Hebrews 10 and 12. But this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice, not a many, one sacrifice did it all. When you see the cross, when we're singing about the cross, when you think about the cross, when you think about Jesus hanging on that cross represented every sacrifice mentioned in the Old Testament. All the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all of them, he fulfilled them all. After he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand. Why did he sit down? Because the work was finished. The work was finished. Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And there's this scripture in the book of Revelation, where Jesus said, it's such an intimate scripture, where he said to the church, the last church, I believe, Philadelphia, may have been even led to see it. He said, to those who overcome, I will invite you to sit with me in my throne. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's an intimate place. Because God has given him a name and seated him. Matter of fact, God even prophesied. See, when you look at the Bible, oh my God, if we had time, we would just put it all together and show you. I don't know how you can be an atheist when you read the Bible and you see how God put all of this together. I mean, it's all God even prophesied this. He even prophesied in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms 110 and verse 1. Look at what God said through David. This was 1,000 years before the book of Hebrews was ever written. God said this. Through David, he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Sit at my, listen, you don't sit until the work is done. This is a prophetic word about the Messiah who will fulfill the covenant promise, who will offer himself once, and then he will sit down. Sit down at the right hand. We know that that right hand is a place of authority. That right hand is a place of dignity. Remember, the disciples wanted it. Said, Lord, we want to know who's going to sit on your right hand and on your left hand. One woman even said, I want my sons to be sitting there. Because they knew that it was a place of dignity, a place of authority. And so God prophesied it, put it in the word, that the Messiah, the messianic psalm of Psalm 110, he prophesied it there, declared it beforehand, the finished work of Christ in the Old Testament book of Psalms. So, you know, all the times that you read Psalm 110, when you read the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, when you saw sit at my right hand, you never connected it to the finished work. He sat down because Jesus finished the work of atonement as high priest on our behalf. Well, now you'll make that connection because Jesus being seated there gives reference to that. So Jesus was given the place of dignity and great authority, whereas Aaron couldn't even enter the Most High because of his sin. He couldn't enter the Most Holy Place but once a year. This makes his priesthood, Aaron's priesthood, insufficient and the priesthood of Christ superior. Let me read what the Adam Clark's commentary says about the fact that he sat down. He says, this is what the apostle states to be the chief or most important point of all that he had yet discussed. His sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God proves, number one, that he is higher than all the priests, than all the high priests that ever existed. Two, that the sacrifice which he offered for for the sins of the world was sufficient and effectual, and as such accepted by God. When Jesus sat down on the right hand of God the Father, that was proof that God accepted his sacrifice. Come on, if your boss gives you a job to do, you go out and do a half-witted job, and he doesn't like it. You think when you come in, you say, I did it, he says, that's not sufficient. He ain't going to say, oh, sit down right here, put your feet up. Have a sit dog. Get some lemonade to kick back and enjoy yourself. He's not going to say that. I mean, if you didn't get the job done, he's going to say, get up out of here. Get out there and do it. Well, hopefully he won't say it like that. He'll say, well, this is, you know, Miss Patterson, this is not sufficient. Would you please go out and would you redo this? Now, where I come from is where they say, you got to get back out there and get it done and do it right the way I should, okay? So, when Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, it was because of the fact that his ministry, the sacrifice that he offered, was sufficient and effectual. Number three, that he has all power in the heavens and in the earth and is able to save and defend to the uttermost all that come to God through him. And number four, that he did not, like the Jewish high priest, depart out of the Holy of Holies. And remember, the high priest, as soon as he sprinkled that blood, and not only that, I mean, go back, read Leviticus chapter 16. I mean, you have to get the full picture. I mean, you have to appreciate this. You have to appreciate the fact that not only did the high priest have to sprinkle blood, that was for his sin. He had to light incense out in the holy place, wave a censer, right, blow the incense into the Holy of Holies. He had to come, and there was this cloud of sweet-smelling savor before God. That ministered to God. Why? Because the smell of our sin didn't. Do you hear me? See, listen. We don't get how offensive we were to God. The Bible says we were his enemies. The Bible says the wrath of God abides on anyone who doesn't accept the Son. He says God doesn't come to condemn. He said anyone who doesn't believe on Jesus is condemned already. You understand that? You understand that our sin is a great offense to God, and God's stiff arm, no, you can't come near me. Not only can you not come near me, if you do, you will die. Not because I want to, it's not because I want, that's my character, my holiness will slay you. So what did God do? He put together a way for people to approach him. Let me finish this and we'll get to that. So he says, Jesus did not, like the high priest, depart out of the Holy of Holies after having offered the atonement, but abides there at the throne of God as a continual priest in the permanent act of offering his crucified body unto God in behalf of all the succeeding generations of mankind. It is no wonder the apostles should call this sitting down at the right hand of the throne of the divine majesty the chief or head of all that he had before spoken. Not only that, every other priest that has ever been mentioned in Scripture ministered on earth. There is only one priest that passed through the heavens. See? And so when he rose from the dead, and Mary Magdalene saw, he said, touch me not, I'm ascending to your Father and my Father, to your God, to my God and your God. Okay, the second verse of Hebrews 8 says, a minister of the sanctuary. Now here, I put Leviticus 16, 1 and 2. This is not concerning Christ, but this is to show you what God said to Aaron. Now, first of all, you'll see Aaron's sons had offered strange fire to the Lord, and the Lord slayed them on the spot. And then the Lord, he told Aaron, don't cry, don't cut yourself, don't make any mourning. Hello? Because your two sons, they sinned, and they didn't deserve what they did. They got what they deserved. Boom. Matter of fact, listen, don't ever ask God for what you deserve. Oh God, but I deserve. No. Don't ever ask him for what you deserve. Always receive. Always receive what you don't deserve. That's his grace. That's it. Because if he ever, and listen, don't ever pray that you give somebody else what they deserve. Because see, if I got to be that way with them, God's non-partial, right? Then that means I got to be that way with you. That's why God said, pray for those who use you. Bless those who curse you. Come on, right? Now, Jesus is the minister of the sanctuary. You say the sanctuary. Yes, the sanctuary. We'll get a little bit deeper into it in a moment, but I wanted you to see this. In verse 2 it says, and the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. Now, hold on. This is the man who was chosen to be high priest. You would say, oh, I'm favored. I'm high priest. You low priest or you no priest. I'm high priest. I'm the man. No, you're not. See, no. Well, if you call that being the man, you go ahead and be the man. I will be just me. Because, see, God said, don't come at any time, just at any time. And even at the time that he could come, you don't come without blood. Why? Well, because you've sinned, and the wages of sin is death. And for you not to die, you have to offer up a sacrifice that has died in your place. That's why you come with blood. Okay? Same thing today. We come with the eternal blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? This was God's appointed way of approaching him. He says, lest you die. Why will you die, Aaron, if you come at just any time? For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. He didn't say, you know, I'm going to kill you just because I don't like you. It had nothing to do with it. He said, I will appear. Do you know if God just appeared, what would happen? Do you know what would happen if he just appeared? Jesus served in the presence of God, his Father, in heaven. Earthly priests could not serve in God's presence but once a year. Thus, their service was incomplete. We needed a high priest in the presence of God always, and that is Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, I want to talk about the true tabernacle. Hebrews, because, remember it says here, if I go all the way back, because I want to make sure you stay with me. Okay. There, it's verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, not in that the earthly one was false, but that it was a copy. Okay? The tabernacle that the Jews, that Moses had set up, it was a copy of the true, not false, but a copy, which the Lord erected and not man. And so Jesus is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. And so here we see in the book of Hebrews 9:11, it says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, none of this creation. What are you saying? What the writer of Hebrews is saying is that there is a tabernacle in heaven. There is a tabernacle like there is here, like there was on the earth, okay? And that tabernacle had to be satisfied, but with greater things than earthly sacrifices. And so here, the Jewish economy, the Jewish system, was simply a pattern, okay, of what was happening in heaven. But like as I said, no high priest could go to heaven. Aaron couldn't. He couldn't even get into God's presence on earth. How on earth how's he gonna go to heaven? First of all, he has no way. Even if he had a way, he would die once he got there because you can't stay in God's presence on earth. And so, Jesus is a minister of this sanctuary, the true tabernacle, of a greater and more perfect tabernacle. It says this over and over again in the book of Hebrews, elsewhere, Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You see, from the Day of Atonement, Aaron had to go into the holy place. He had to go into the presence of God. Leviticus 16:1-2, which I just showed you. And God said, don't come in at any time, Aaron. But Jesus Christ went in and he stayed in. And he's seated at the right hand of God for you and for me. Okay? Now, and so when it talks about the sanctuary, here's a scripture that I just love, Exodus 25:8. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Let them make me a sanctuary. You see, when man sinned, he had no way to get to God. It was God who initiated and said, listen, we never wanted to go live with God. Come on. When, as a sinner, you running around in your sin, did you ever stop and say, I love God and I want to go live with him? No, didn't happen. Couldn't happen, right? It was God who said, I want to dwell with them. But in order for that to happen, make me a sanctuary. Well, what goes on in that sanctuary? Well, this is the only way for me to get to be with you. Well, what way is that? Well, see, you've sinned. So there has to be a sacrifice. The wages of sin is death. Either you die or the animal dies. God instituted blood sacrifice, right? God instituted it to cover the sins of the people. And so when you read, here again, when you read your Old Testament, don't speed through it. Savor every bit of it, because God said, in order for me to live with you, this is your approach. This is how you come to me. This is why the Pharisees and Sadducees should have known who Jesus was. They should have known. They had the whole Levitical system. Jesus said, I am the Passover lamb. He said, I am the Messiah. They should have known. They should have been ready, but they weren't. Okay? The sanctuary was all about God dwelling with man. Man didn't know, didn't want, and could not accomplish this. God's righteous requirement was met by his son, who is high priest of his heavenly sanctuary. You see, as Aaron would take and slay the animal, take the blood, go into God's presence, sprinkle it 7 times for the atonement of the people, and then he would leave. Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, he passed through the heavens, went up into the heavenly sanctuary in God's presence. Here it is, the sacrifice, his own body pierced and impaled. He offered himself, and God accepted that sacrifice. Now the doors of the new covenant is thrown wide open, and people are coming and being saved and having their sins forgiven when they didn't deserve it. That's what our high priest did. That's why he's the minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle. He's the only one who could have done so. So when man could not, there was no way man was going to go get to dwell with God. God here, so he initiated under the old covenant an approach for how man could come be with him, and how he could come be with them. Then in the new covenant, in 1 John 1:4, we read this, and the word became flesh and dwelt, or tabernacled, among us. God couldn't take it. He wanted to be with us. So he came, because we weren't going to be with him. We didn't want it, nor could we do it. So he came and tabernacled with us. All right. There's more in there, but I'm not gonna go to that right now. Let me just go to this last scripture and we'll close. Revelation chapter 21. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, this is what God has always wanted now. The tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And so the dwelling now, what God wanted to dwell with us, What we didn't want and couldn't do is now brought together in Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus said in John 17, he said, I'm praying this. You see, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. But then Jesus also said this, the day will come when you will know that I am in you and you are in me. And so when you're one with Jesus, that's how we come together. That's how we know the Father. Because we find ourselves in Christ, and Christ, the Bible said, is in God. And so God gets what he wanted done through his Son, Jesus Christ, our high priest forever. And so all studying this all week, all I've had in my mind every time I worship, every time I think about Jesus, I see him seated at the right hand of the Father. I see him seated there in great glory, and it just overwhelms me what our high priest did, okay? And it was all for us. It was all for us, the sacrifice that he made and the ministry that continues on our behalf. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for truth. We thank you for our high priest who is seated at your right hand in great glory and great majesty. And Father, I pray, Lord, that there would come an understanding and an appreciation, Lord, for who you are and what you've done and what you're doing. And I pray, oh God, that our lives, Lord, would not be holier than thou because we think we're some great people, but it would be in recognition of who you are, in recognition of what you've done, oh God. Lord, that we would humbly submit ourselves to your will. We would yield in every way, oh God. We would live not for ourselves, but we would live for the one who died for us, oh God, and gave his all. And so, Lord, I ask your blessing. I ask, Lord, your increase in understanding and perspective, oh God, concerning this life and the life to come. And Lord, that at all times and in every way we would give honor and praise to our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you.